Welcome to Got Invention Radio. I'm your host, Brian Fried. And as usual, we always have great guests. But tonight, we have a very special guest, Lori Grenier. She's the celebrity on ABC's Shark Tank, and she has her own show on QVC TV. Lori, thank you for joining us tonight.
Nice to be here.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
It's fantastic. Lori, I'm telling you, over the last couple years, between QVC and between Shark Tank, you've really gotten some great opportunities out there, and we got to see what you're made of and get to know you a little bit better. But besides seeing you on QVC and on Shark Tank, if you don't mind spending a few moments and telling us about you and maybe behind the scenes what you've been up to.
Well, I was going to say, if anybody watches ABC Shark Tank, I've been this season, I'm a permanent shark, and that airs Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. And then I've been on QVC for the past 16 years selling my inventions. I'm an inventor and an entrepreneur. I've created over 400 products, and I have 115 patents. And I have my own show on QVC, which is called Clever and Unique Creations by Lori Grenier. And that keeps me pretty busy, I will say.
When is that on?
That is on, well, at my website, which is lorigrenier.com. You can see when all the different shows are, Shark Tank and QVC, but my next shows on QVC will be Friday nights, February 15th and February 22. 15th is at 8 p.m. Eastern, and on the 22nd it's 7 p.m. And then in March also, March 8th, March 22nd, and March 29th, again Friday night right before Shark Tank at 8 p.m., and Shark Tank is always on 9 p.m. on Friday nights Eastern.
Boy, Lori, what do you think is making Shark Tank such a tremendous hit on ABC? What is it about it that's really attracting attention?
Well, I think there's so many things. I think that most people want to live the American dream. They want to be able to quit their day job and become an inventor and create the next greatest success. And Shark Tank really gives them the ability to learn, become knowledgeable, see what entrepreneurism is like, or entrepreneurship is like. And a lot of people say they really learn from it. A lot of schools are teaching it. They actually play Shark Tank in college classes and high school classes and have the students learn and talk about it. So I think it's all about just really being able to learn from and live the American dream if one so wants to.
Sure. There's so many people that are unemployed that have jobs that are looking to get out of their job, or they're just looking for residual income. And it doesn't matter who you are, right, Lori? I'm sure you've seen everybody and any type of person and just involved in anything have some kind of idea, maybe being involved in wherever they work or their environment, right?
Well, you know, Robert and I were joking. We were at a ABC event that was in front of all of the press the other day in Pasadena. And one of the things that most people think about all the time is, oh, if I just thought of that, if I just had that one great idea, I'd become a millionaire. People, I think, are more and more interested in making a lot of money fast, as they always have been. But I think being an entrepreneur makes you feel that you can do that, you can achieve it. And as you said, in this economy, things are so hard, times are rough, people are losing jobs, that everybody wants to come up with, you know, the next pet rock. And we were joking at the TCA event that on American Idol, you know, you have to have a talent, you have to have a voice to win. But to be an entrepreneur, you just have to have a brain. You just have to think of something, a business idea or a product idea, and you can actually take that and get somewhere with it. You don't have to have a special talent.
Well, that's the thing. And watching you and the rest of the Shark Tank guests there, the hosts, it's really interesting because it's not that you just see a product on the shelf or you see it on QVC. You actually see what goes into the first part of it, which is the development side of it and just going through the process of actually having an opportunity to go out in retail. And that's why between your show and even Got Invention Radio, people listen to the show because they hear somebody like you actually speaking to them and bringing whatever it is that you're involved with on the outside to life. And just kind of going on that premise where there's inventors that are listening that are just at the beginning stages where they have their idea on chicken scratch in front of them. And then some people actually have products in the market, or they're stuck at that fork in the road, whether they should license it or manufacture it themselves. Lori, with your experience of 400 products, 115 plus patents, maybe you can help us out. I'm sure you can. What do you do when you have an idea? What's the first thing that comes to mind when you have that, what they say, aha moment?
Well, I always recommend that when somebody has what they think is an aha moment, or they think they have the next best thing, that they really find out and take the steps to figure out if they really do. You know, most entrepreneurs or people that come up with ideas think that the product is the best thing in the world. And their parents, their family, their friends, people tell them, oh, yeah, it's great, I love it. But that's not who to find out from. What you need to do is do market research, get out there, pound the pavement, make a prototype, have a sample, and show people it and say, what do you think of this? Would you buy it? Is this something you need? Do you think this is great? People who don't know you and have no stake in the game, you know, people that know you don't want to hurt your feelings.
Right.
So you need that really cold, unbiased opinion. And so I think always a very important thing is to find out, is it really a great idea?
Right. Would you say, Lori, on that note, would you say that it's a good idea to take away your emotion out of your idea and focus on the business, because when you come up with an idea, it's a business?
Well, I think that keeping in the emotion of being passionate and excited about it is always a good thing, because if you're not, no one else will be. But I think that staying emotionless to when people tell you what they think, you know, don't fight it back, don't refute it, don't prove to them why it's better. Most things and most ideas people get, they understand if you explain it well. And you're not going to convince them or change their mind if it's not something that connects to them personally. So I think that one of the things that people really have to do is be objective and really hear the feedback that they're given. If people are excited and you can tell they're genuinely excited, then you know you might have a hero. And if they look like, I don't know, not for me, you know they really don't like it. And don't try to force it on them. And in turn, you're actually hurting yourself. If you're trying to influence others to love what your idea is, and you actually have to be doing that, it's probably not the right idea. It's not going to be the thing that's going to make you a millionaire. It's better to just move on to something else. Think of the next best thing.
Okay, that makes sense. So you did that market research, and it passed the test. You have a pretty good sense of that it's something that could have some really good opportunity. What do you do next, Lori?
Then you have to figure out, how do you make your product? If it's a product, if it's a business idea, how do you do your business model? What do you need to do it? That's really sitting down and writing out, what are the steps that are necessary for me to go from zero to the next step? Often it means, if it's a product, you need a prototype. You need to figure out, what is it made out of? Where can I have it made? And things like that. You know, how do you get it out there? And much of that is intuitive. You know, it's like, if you need to bake a cake, what do you need to put in it? Eggs, flour, sugar. It's the same type of thing, but for each different person's idea, business model, or product, they have to sit and figure out, what are those things needed to make this thing come to life?
There's so many inventors that are frustrated with understanding what to do with their idea and what to do first, second, third, fourth. Where does the intellectual property protection, patents, trademarks, where does that come in for you, Lori?
Well, it should come in very early if you feel that your product is patentable and you feel that you have the money in which to try to patent it, which is going to be at minimum $5,000 to start. Then you have to, one, find an intellectual property attorney. But the other thing is you have to really think about having them let you know, have a consultation visit, which you'll probably pay for, and find out if the product is actually patentable. Not everything is. Some products are, and many are not. And once you figure that out, then you figure out if it's worth putting the time and money. So step one, figure out, is this product something people want, not just something you think is great? Step two, is it something that is patentable or can get coverage? So that's number two.
Mm-hmm. And if the product or the idea is not patentable, does that stop you, Lori, and you move on to your next idea, or do you figure out...
No, there are many products that I've made that are not patentable. Not everything is. As a matter of fact, I think the minority of things are, because they really have to be unique and different. The it shouldn't stop you. And having a patent is only protection in case other people try to knock off or do your product. Sometimes, you know, it's smart if you think it's really different to do a patent search to see if anybody else owns a patent on your idea, because you don't want to spend all the time, money, and effort to go produce something that then you're infringing somebody else's patent. That's the flip side of it that people forget about and need to be careful about, because you certainly don't want to invest $50,000 or $100,000 into making something where all of a sudden you get the news that you're infringing someone else.
Okay, so for the most part, you try to get some sort of intellectual property protection, whether it's a design patent or utility patent, or start off with a provisional patent, the one-year right to say that your product is patent pending and hold that date.
Well, if it is something that is patentable and it's something that you can afford to do, then, you know, it's a personal choice. It's a decision that one makes when they go into business. How important is that to them? Some people choose that it is important. Some people say it's not. They just say, I'm going to do my best to get it out there as far and wide as I can. So there's no, it's not like you can say, here's the five easy steps. It's what works for you and what do you think is the right steps for you. I'm only giving you guidelines, but there's no one way that's the perfect way to go.
So, Lori, there's inventors, I'm sure, that come to you that say, I have a great idea. And you say, okay, do you want to tell me about it, or sign a non-disclosure agreement? And they're paranoid. They don't want to tell their idea because they feel that you might steal it, or showing somebody else out there might steal it. What do you say to that? I mean, when you're talking about resources, and you've mentioned a few things between intellectual property, which most of the time you need a professional, a prototyper, you probably need to go somewhere to make a prototype, or these people are going to have to, you're going to have to reveal your idea some way, somehow, to be able to keep moving forward. So what do you tell people that are paranoid, Lori?
Well, the thing is, everybody's paranoid. Every inventor's paranoid. Every inventor doesn't want anybody to steal their idea. And so it goes with the territory. But you also, like anything in life, you always have to take a step. You always have to take a risk. Starting your own business is taking a risk. And you have to be a person that's able to do that. You have to be a risk taker to be an entrepreneur. So, you know, if you can get coverage, great, you get it. If you can afford it, and if it's what you want to do. But if you can't, it doesn't mean that you should stop. It just means that, you know, you hope that you get your product out there faster and broader and fuller than anybody else that might be the person that you're fearful of. And, of course, always intuition is best. If there are people, big companies that you think you shouldn't be revealing your product to, you should try to get it out there yourself first. If there's people you think that would steal your idea, don't show it to them. You know, a lot of doing this is common sense. It's going with your intuition. It's knowing the common sense things to do or not do. For some people, maybe you're thinking it's not always intuitive, but things that give you concern, if you're worried that somebody's going to steal your product, don't reveal it to them.
It's your choice.
It's your choice.
Right. But so how do you take precaution then? I mean, there's a certain part that's intuitive, then there's the other side, which is the business sense, to maybe have them sign a non-disclosure agreement. Does that make sense, Lori?
Well, you can try to get people to sign non-disclosure agreements, but not everybody will.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I was just thinking even beyond what you were saying. A lot of people, when they're a new inventor and they're just starting, They might have a non-disclosure agreement, but a lot of people don't sign those. Mass retailers don't sign them. Even smaller retailers don't sign them because they never, you never can know if that product's already out there, how many other people have shown it to your organization. It's very hard to get people to sign that. So at the end of the day, there comes a point where you just have to make the decision of whether or not you're going to take the risk and move forward or not.
What I do, Lori, is I usually keep some kind of record of my activity with whoever it is I'm showing to. Sometimes it's in person, and I'll send an email that says, thank you for seeing my product. Just something to kind of keep it in check and just keep a folder of the activity that goes on with each product that I come up with. I do whatever I can, but for the most part, you're right. There's some things that are patentable and some things that aren't, and some things you take risks on. But as long as you make educated risks, then you're working with people that are resourceful and have some kind of track record, then hopefully you can continue to keep moving forward with peace of mind.
Yep. As you know, too, you know, it's great to have a record, but it doesn't hold up in a court of law. And that's the, you know, contracts do. But, you know, sometimes you just need to move on and say that, rely on yourself, that you're going to make it the biggest, the best, the greatest, and put your mind to it and do it.
Absolutely. Lori, there's many inventors that, and I hear more times than just, it's constant, where inventors are at that fork in the road. They're looking to either, or they're not sure whether they should license their product or bring their product to market. What do you say to people at that stage of their invention process?
Well, again, that's a very personal decision. If somebody's lucky enough to be able to license their product or idea, and when I say lucky enough, that means that they have somebody willing to pay them money for it, and if that money is enough money that that person feels that they would like to give away their product and do that, then it works for them. The, you know, I'm sorry if I sound, you know, rather, there's no hard and fast rules to what to do. Often it is, here are your different opportunities or things, and then you have to determine whether or not that's right for you, the decision that's right. I've met many entrepreneurs and inventors that say, I want to run this business. This is my heart. This is my baby. This is my blood. I'm not giving it away to anybody. And then there are people who are like, you know what? I don't have time. I've got three kids. I have a wife. I have a husband. I would love to just sell my idea to somebody, and I don't care if I don't even make that much. So all of it's very reflective to your personal feelings, who you are, what your life is like, and how much time and commitment you're able to give to something.
Do you think that an inventor with one product can get into, well, I'm sure it's not impossible, but it's not easy to get one product into retail? Is that a myth or is that a fact?
No, it's a fact, because a lot of retailers don't have the setups or the time to put in one SKU and one whole company. It's a lot of work and effort and setup time. So they would rather deal with companies that have multiple SKUs and are already set up. But it doesn't mean that if you have something revolutionary and fantastic that they won't do it, because everybody's always looking for the next best thing, for things that are new and inventive and exciting. So again, you know, no hard and fast rules, but in general, it is easier for a retailer to deal with somebody who's already set up or who has multiple SKUs.
I had a product, Lori, and I brought it to a buyer at a major retailer, and I'm friendly with them, and they said, Brian, go to so-and-so company. You know, they already have, you know, full line. You know, it's much easier for both of us to do that. And I said, okay. So I did. And it actually builds up some credibility as well with whoever I brought it to say, hey, so-and-so from so-and-so is interested in the product. You know, here's her number. You know, you already have products out there. It does make it easier. But now you're talking about a licensing opportunity. And there's some people out there that have the mindset that they do want to go into business for themselves. But realistically, you know, just kind of hitting that brick wall and there's an opening right next to it that you can kind of align with somebody that has the distribution already does lead to opportunity rather than just continuing to hit the brick wall.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough, but I've seen products out there that have, you know, if you build up, is it a fact or a myth that if you build up some momentum and maybe you get into some catalogs and you have sales or you're on the internet and you have sales, you build up momentum, it does make it a little easier to get your one product into mass retail, Lori?
Well, everybody always responds to success, whether it's a retailer, whether it's, no matter what it is, people get more excited, they get more interested in something that has a proven track record. So if you could go to a retailer and you could say, I sold 20,000 of these, 30,000 of these via a catalog, via my website, and have proof of that, it's more interesting than if you're just starting out and you've sold nothing.
And that goes to say on the show, when somebody says, I have X amount of sales, you know, and they say, well, you know, keep going. You just started. I mean, you know, when they give the low number, everybody's kind of like deflated. But when they have some good exposure and good numbers, everybody seems to kind of want to get into the opportunity to work with the company on Shark Tank, right?
Exactly. It's true with anything in life.
What all the products that you see, Lori, and we get to learn so much from you and watching your responses and your reactions to different things, opportunities that you see, whether they're businesses or products. What do you think makes up a TV product? Or when you see something, do you see it as, okay, this is specialty, very niche-y, a TV product, catalog, online? Do you, what goes through your mind when you see a product?
Well, when I see a product, I mean, to try to taper that down, when I see a product, I first think, is it a product or not? And then, based on so many years of experience, I can instantly tell, I say, as is my app's name, the hero or zero. I can tell instantly, I think, if it's a hero or a zero. Not always right, I just have a strong track record. But I start to think about what kind of product is it, where would it sell? And I really think more about mass. I don't think as much about niche because niche is harder. But that's what I start to think. I don't know that I boil it down. Is this catalog? Is this retail? Is this TV? Is this infomercial? I think, is this something I think is going to be a great product that people are going to need and want, and is it going to be a hit?
And that's the thing. You look at it from a perspective from the consumer. There's a lot of people, like you said in the beginning, that look at it as, this is something that I need, and you have to open it up to see what they need, and that's what you're doing. Besides that, you're calculating what it most likely will cost to make, what the wholesale is and what the retail is, and see if it's a product that's viable for retail.
Right.
Well, that makes sense. What do you think from your Shark Tank experience, the different inventors? And I know there's businesses that come out there also, but the products that come out there, what is it that kind of sparks your, and you mentioned it, but what kind of sparks your interest? What does it really have to have overall to make it that you see it as a successful product?
Well, I look at several things. I mean, like I said, I look at it, is it a hero or a zero instantly? And if it's a hero, then I look at the person and I look at their sales and I look at their experience and the track record of the business or the product. And I think about that, and I take all of those pieces and I put them together to determine whether or not it's something I'm interested in.
Okay.
If it's a fantastic item but a really not fantastic person, or really not a fantastic person, I'm probably not going to be interested in going into business with them.
Okay. That's interesting. And your 400-plus products that you have, Lori, what is it, mostly household type of products, mass retail, combination of both? What is your interest and what do you see as the big opportunities, whether it's now or what you've been working on and going forward?
Well, my range has been extremely broad. I mean, anything from usually the type of products that I've created and the type of products that interest me are things that people need. more so than something that is just a want. I think it's harder to sell things that are wants. You know, you may want a consumable like chocolate, but there's millions of different types of chocolate out there, and it's very competitive. So when you solve an I need, like something that's a problem that somebody has and they need a solution to it, that's much more, it's more something that people will gravitate to and buy. And so whether it's a kitchen gadget, whether it's a jewelry box, whether it's sunglasses that fold down, I've done such a huge range of items, but they all seem to fall under Clever and Unique, which is the name of my show, Clever and Unique Creations. I seem to find that to be a good model to follow.
Lori, you have a ton of fans. My inbox is burning up. I wish you can answer every one of these inventors, entrepreneurs' questions.
Why don't you give me a few?
Okay. We have, let's see. Do you have to have the product manufactured or selling before you can get investors or licensing agreement?
Say that again?
I'm on the next one already. Oh, boy. do you have to have the product manufactured, well, I'll try to interpret this, and selling before you can get investors or a licensing agreement? So basically, do you need to have a prototype? Do you need to already have your product manufactured? Do you need to have some sort of short run already going and to test it before you can get a licensing?
Not necessarily, no. I mean, you do need usually to have a prototype or people can't understand or see what your product is, if it's a product. I think, though, that if it's something really genius and something that whoever you're thinking of, whoever's your market that would be interested in licensing it, would be interested in, most people know and can tell if it's something that's right for them. So you don't have to have a lot of inventory or have made a lot for them to know whether or not it's going to be right.
Okay. Thank you, Lori. Here's another fan of yours. I love Lori on Shark Tank. I guess that's why they call you the warm-blooded shark, right? That's your trademark.
Yeah.
But she is such an inspiration, and she is a real class act. Thank you for having her on the show. Here's some questions. There's a bunch of questions, but I like this one. Should a new startup do short initial production runs overseas or start stateside? Is it a better decision to work locally?
Well, that's very personal. That's a personal decision as to whether or not, you know, if you're stateside, you can be there checking it. You can be in the factory. You can walk around and look at your product and make sure everything's going right. But it often, not always, can cost more money. Some people, though, are successfully having things produced at a very good price in the United States. Things are changing. But if you decide to go overseas, if that's the right thing for you, then it's different in that it's not like you can easily just walk into the factory and watch what's going on. And so I think it's a decision that you have to make. You have to see if you have the right suppliers and what's the cost of your product. There's a lot of details. I'm sorry to say I can't really answer that in general.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Lori. Is it okay? I know that we're going to have you on for a little bit longer. Is it okay if I ask you a couple more questions?
Sure.
Thanks. Here's another one from an active listener. By the way, my daughter, Alana, is a very big fan of yours, and she emailed me a few times also. Tell Lori I said hi.
Hello, Alana.
She's going to be 11 in a couple weeks, and she's on her way. She has a nice inventor book she's filling up. So, hi,
Tell
Alana.
Her I'm proud of her.
Thank you. Here's another one from an active listener. Have you ever heard of anyone who's licensed a product and years later took it on for themselves to manufacture or distribute?
Someone who licensed a product and then took it upon themselves to manufacture and distribute?
I guess maybe they have a licensing deal, and after a certain term it expires. You know, maybe it's a 5-10 year deal. And then they decide to do
it.
Well,
if you add that to the sentence, you know, it makes a difference. I mean, typically you have a licensing deal. It depends upon the terms of your agreement. You know, so that's, I'm sorry, I can't really answer that question. We should probably go on to another one.
Yeah, absolutely. Lori, there's a bunch of emails that are coming in that are asking about you. and about your website and about submitting their products on your website. So why don't we start off by saying or asking you, if they have ideas that they want to present to you, what do they need to do, where do they need to go, and what happens next?
Okay, I'll make this my last question.
Yep.
So what I would recommend is you can go to LoriGrenier.com, and there's an Ask Lori section at the bottom of the homepage, and you can submit. There's terms and conditions. You have to check that box, but if you feel comfortable and you want to submit your idea, we definitely do read and get to everything. And we'll let you know whether or not we think it's a hero or a zero. I also have an app called the Hero or Zero app, so you can also download our app. It's free, and you can submit that way too.
Okay.
And then we let you know, what we honestly think. I'll end this in saying, you know, I'm not always right. I think that people should follow their dreams and really go. If you put your heart into anything, I think you definitely can make wonderful things happen. And, you know, we do the best that we can as far as judging, but don't ever be discouraged. And really go with your intuition, your gut, and your heart as to the feedback that you get from others about your ideas. And remember, if one doesn't work, the next one will. It doesn't always mean that you're no good at it. It just means maybe that's not the right one. So, like anything in life, you know, we've all made lots of mistakes before we stop making so many mistakes. And just always keep reaching for your dreams and don't get discouraged.
Thank you, Lori. That's some great words of wisdom there. Why don't, if you can end off by telling us what's next for you, what other things can we look at that we can keep in touch with you on, and anything else that you'd like to add before we end the show?
Well, I was going to say, you know, anybody can get in touch with me ever at my website. Join me, of course, on Facebook and Twitter, and you can do that at my website. And I love engaging. I love hearing from everybody. Watch my shows on QVC. Sign up for our newsletter, which is fantastic. I'll be writing a book this year, and a lot of you, I think, would probably be very interested in it because it helps to explain how to do things and also my journey. And if you sign up for my newsletter at my website, it's an e-newsletter once a month, and that would tell you when the book is coming out, when the shows are, about exciting products and things like that.
Okay, so really your website is the ultimate hub of everything that's going on with you that's constantly updated. And I know you have a great team, Courtney and the rest of your team. They do a super job just keeping letting us keep track of you, Lori.
I do. I have a fantastic team, and we're very active with social media, our website, Facebook, and Twitter. So please, everybody, join in.
Lori, we really appreciate having you on our show. Thank you so
much.
Thank you. It means a lot to Gotinvention Radio, the inventors listening out there, just that the words of wisdom and just watching you on Shark Tank and watching you on QVC. Really appreciate what you're doing for the inventor community and keeping us inspired. Thank you again, Lori.
Thank you. My pleasure. Have a great night.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.
And
bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Lori. And thank you to our sponsors, Carter, DeLuca, Farrell, and Schmidt. We have China to West, QuickPatents.com, United Inventors Association, UIAUSA.org, Inventors Digest, InventorsDigest.com. Thank you, everybody. We appreciate your support. Have a great night from Gotinvention Radio, and keep on inventing. Have a great night. Bye-bye.